Thank you, Roger, for reading that for us this morning. And do go ahead and keep your Bibles open. We'll be back to that text in just a few moments. Do appreciate all the men of our congregation who are willing to serve. And I know a lot of times those that are out for some reason or another, you may get a tap on the shoulder at the last minute by one of our, either John or Brian or one of those that coordinate our worship. And notice John back there counting this morning, making sure everybody was lined up. And he was doing his job, kind of reminded, we've got a litter of pigs, 11 right now, and you'll try to count them, and by the time you get them, they're somewhere else. So the guys were a little more cooperative than that, but John was hard at it this morning. I do appreciate all of those that that help out. You know, we're right in the middle of a special time here at Sunset, a time that we are looking toward our future, looking toward some of the things that we'll be able to look toward in the next few years as far as the direction of this congregation, giving God the glory in all that we do. But we need men that can lead, men that can cast that vision, men that can prayerfully serve, humbly serve. We're going to begin this morning looking at leadership, and we'll continue this over the next couple of weeks. The title of our lesson this morning is The Stakes of Leadership. And I actually borrowed that from a chapter of a book entitled Courageous Leadership by Bill Hybels. And this was a book that he wrote some 10 years or so ago. And a lot of good material in here. I want to share a paragraph that he sort of opens up with. And I think that'll sort of set the stage for what we want to look at in our time this morning. He says, if leaders in business, government, or education increase their competence through reading this book, that's fine. But I'm not writing primarily to them. In the end, even though their work may be exceedingly important, the cause to which they have dedicated their skills has one thing lacking. It does not have the power to change the world. What makes my heart beat fast is engaging with leaders in local churches, because I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. I believe to the core of my being that local church leaders have the potential to be the most influential force on planet Earth. If they get it and get on with it, churches can become the redemptive centers that Jesus intended them to be. Dynamic teaching, creative worship, deep community, effective evangelism, and joyful service will combine to renew the hearts and minds of seekers and believers alike, strengthen families, transform communities, and change the world. Do we believe the role of an elder is an important one? I think each and every one here this morning would agree to that and say, yes, it is. And we need men who can lead, men who can cast that vision, men who can work with the body here at Sunset. And as you go through and you look for men that can do that, and I know we're doing that over these next few days, and by next week, hopefully can have some names together that that can be drawn from. But God is concerned about leadership. And I think we see that throughout Scripture. Consider one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament. You wouldn't go far until you'd mention the name of Moses. God was in his life from basically day one, was he not? Knowing that he would be that great leader, that great man that would lead that massive group out of bondage. However, contained within the page of the Old Testament are many great leaders whose name we do not even have. These men provided the communities of God's people with steady leadership and guidance. And these men were often found sitting at the city gate, sharing wisdom and managing the affairs of the people. They witnessed legal transactions, announced God's blessings, and sometimes they announced His warning. And these men were well-seasoned and were representatives for the community or from the community. Who were these unnamed leaders? These great civic leaders were known as elders or shepherds, so we shouldn't be surprised that when we get to the New Testament, God calls the leaders of His church by the same name. Today we're going to look closely at exactly what an elder is and how they function and the magnitude of the job. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, how important that is. You know, we're already talking about an election that's going to happen at the end of next year, 2016. The top-ranking official in our country, the President of the United States. However, we're looking at men who can have a much greater impact in our lives, an impact that can last an eternity. We need to seriously consider our leadership. Understanding what an elder is, I think we can say there's three very simple things that we can look at. Elders, number one, are shepherds. We've already mentioned that. And shepherds in the Bible were not someone who just showed up in a stranger's pasture and tended to the sheep for 8 hours. They were there day in and day out. They knew the flock. They knew those that they were leading. There was a genuine relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. And elders are not merely some stranger plugged into a position of authority. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for men who are shepherds, men who know their sheep. I think we need to remember the best elders are those who already have a flock that has developed because of their genuineness, their service, and their concern for people. A natural leader will have followers. You don't just place a man in that position and say, follow him. We look for men who have that following. Shepherding is not about just making decisions or running the church. It's about developing relationships, caring for that flock. So they are shepherds. The second thing we could mention, they're mentors. Elders are those men who have walked the trail ahead of us for a long time, pointing us to the right or in the right direction. And we're attracted to good mentors by the way they live their lives. Their lives provide a positive message. When we're tempted to throw in the towel, they give us the courage to go on. Someone once eloquently put it this way, you write a sermon, a chapter a day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether false or true. So what is the gospel according to you? They're shepherds, they're mentors. They're also equippers. Elders prepare people for service through one-on-one time or teaching opportunities. They help discover individual gifts. They guide individuals to areas of ministry that match their gifts and passions and provide them with the tools and skills to carry it out effectively. Whether shepherding, mentoring, or equipping, elders do their best work through relationships. And I think that's what we need to remember, is the relational aspect of it all. Elders cannot help but smell like sheep. They're there with that flock. They're part of that family. You know, we mentioned the shepherd idea, and the shepherd metaphor shows up more than 500 times throughout Scripture across both the Old and New Testament. Without question, the dominant biblical model for spiritual leadership is the shepherd and his flock. And that's the example that we're giving time and time again of a leader, is how a shepherd would take care of that flock. And it's good to know that we have men who love the Lord so much that they want to shepherd even the flock right here at sunset. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1 says, it is a trustworthy statement, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do. We have 5 men who are currently serving, filling that role, providing that leadership, knowing that they need some help. They need some that can come alongside and lift them up. Because serving isn't always an easy job. Leading isn't always an easy job. The story was once told of the preacher that quit his ministry after 20 years and he became a funeral director. And when asked why he changed, he said, well, I spent 3 years trying to straighten out John and he's still an alcoholic. I spent 6 months trying to straighten out Susan's marriage and she's filed for divorce. I spent 2.5 years trying to straighten out Bob's drug problem. He's still an addict. But now here at the funeral home, when I straighten them out, they stay straight. So that's, you know, that doesn't always happen in the real world, does it? We try to help someone. We try to encourage. We try to lead. And it doesn't always work. The work of the church leader can be difficult. We need to hold our leaders up and fully support them. Mentioned that in our text, but also Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Go ahead and turn over to the text if you're not there. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'd like to spend our remaining time looking at this text this morning. Brings out some very important ideas. I want to look at the ministry of the elder, the motives of the elder, and the manner of leading the church. And I think we see all of that contained here within this reading. Let's go back and look at verses 1 through 4. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Let's look for just a minute at the ministry of an elder. I think we see that contained within verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not because you must. You're willing to do that. Understanding what the ministry is, I think, will help our elders to have the proper attitudes and actions toward the flock. Shepherds lead the sheep. They don't drive them. It's hard to drive someone or any type of animal someplace that they don't want to go. You lead them. Shepherds protect and care for the sheep. They do not just count them to see if they're where they're supposed to be. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw them away, or to draw away the disciples after them." They're to lead. They're to know that flock. Not just the number of the flock, but how's that flock doing? You could count time and time again and say, okay, there's my 35 sheep, or whatever that number might be. The next day you go out and you see there's the same number. But if you don't look beyond that number, you may see that the sheep aren't being fed. They're losing weight. They're not getting the proper nourishment. They're not getting the water that they need. They're deteriorating. Yes, they're there, 35 head, but that's not what it's all about. Taking care of the flock of God was important to Jesus. I think we see that in John chapter 21. Beginning at verse 15, he says to Peter, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" Elders are men who will be praying for you. Elders are men of God's Word. Men who are in God's Word, tending that flock, looking out for the best interest, leading them in a direction that is scriptural, leading them in a direction that is in accordance with God's Word. A huge task. and one that I think we sometimes maybe don't see the importance as we should or the magnitude as we should. We have five men currently serving: Tom, John, Irvin, Vinton, and Don. Are these men that are prayerful men? We're looking for others to come alongside them. The ministry of the elder. The motives of an elder. I think we also see that in verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. The motives for tending the flock are important. They'll determine what kind of job will be done. The elder is to shepherd the flock voluntarily, not under compulsion. Yes, you'd be willing to step up to that job. I know we have men in this audience this morning who may be asked to step up. What an important task, but one that is to be filled. The elder is to shepherd the flock voluntarily. If you have to twist the arm or beg a person to be an elder, in many cases, a few months down the road, you may have wished that you hadn't twisted or begged. Howard Hendricks said, if you can't stand the smell of sheep, you shouldn't be a shepherd. There are times that the elder will have to be tough with the flock, and other times that he'll have to hold them in his arms. You want people in a position of leadership who love the people in the church enough that they'll do the job. The love Jesus had for His followers. The love Jesus had for you and I. I seriously doubt that anyone in this room would be asked to give what Jesus gave. Yet that's the attitude that we must have. When we're talking about service, it really doesn't make any difference. As Christians, we serve one another. But an elder leads that flock. The men who are considering to serve as elders must be men who love Jesus and love you. These men are in your corner, and they'll always desire the best for the flock. And then I think the manner in which the elder leads is so important. Notice verse 3 in our text. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Not lording it over, being examples. How are the elders supposed to lead the church? They're not to lord it over the church. Literally, they are not to be a high-handed autocrat. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant." They're not to lust for power. The character qualifications are important because the elder is called to be an example to those that he is leading. In John 13, Jesus showed the disciples the manner of leadership that they were to have, and it was to serve one another. You remember that story? They didn't understand it. Jesus got down and washed the feet. The effective leader is one who is an example of what they want other people to do and to be. There'll be men who will lead you into battle with Satan. There will be men who will be above reproach within the church and the world. Scripture says a lot about leadership. We haven't even looked at the qualifications that we typically would go to, found in Timothy and other areas as well. We'll probably do that in one of the next two lessons, but just the idea of the magnitude of serving. And I think we all see that somewhat in our own lives. Yet as an elder, that's multiplied because of their service to the flock. Leadership in the church is important. We want leaders who want to do the job. And we should have men who are willing to stand up and say, "Yes, I'm ready. Yes, I want to serve. I want to lead." We need to have those men who are gifted to lead, to yield themselves fully to God. They must cast powerful, biblical, God-honoring visions. They must build effective loving, clearly focused teams. They must fire up Christ followers to give their absolute best for God. And they must insist with pit bull determination that the gospel be preached, the lost be found, the believers be equipped, the poor be served, the lonely be folded into the community, and that God gets the credit for it all. It's easy to say, isn't it? But a big job. And one that we have men serving at now, and hopefully in the very near future we'll have those that will be willing to step forward. Those whose names have been placed before this group that will be willing to serve. Shepherds of God's flock are not to lord it over the flock, but to prove to be examples. I ask that you be praying for this. I know that you are. I know that you pray for our elders. They pray for you. I know they do that sometimes with you one-on-one in our meetings that we have. We're a part of the elder meetings most occasions, and we specifically pray for folks who are hurting in those meetings. Our men are men that are prayerful. I would ask that you do the same as you consider names that can be put forth, men that can take on this role of leadership. Let's pause for a word of prayer as we conclude. Father, we come before you now. We just want to thank you so much for this day, for this group that is gathered here. And I just pray you'll bless each and every family represented here this morning. I thank you so much for each family that's part of this group. Pray you will bless us over these next few weeks as we look for men who can lead. Look for men who will serve as shepherds. Look for men who are willing to lead by example. And I pray that you would bless our elders, our deacons, those men that are serving now, that have taken on this role of leadership. Give them the strength that they need. Give them the love that they need. Give them the humility that they need to serve and to be the kind of servant that you would have them to be. I thank you for these men and hold them up to you this morning. Bless us through this day, and it's through your Son I pray. Amen. Leadership in anything is important. I think we realize that. I think we see that leadership is where it begins and where it ends. And that's so true with God's church. The stakes of leadership are high. And we're in a crucial period. We're looking for some men that can stand up and do that. I pray that we have men that will be willing to do that. Men that will work with the elders that we have that are currently serving. Pray for these men. Pray for this process. I know that you are. This hasn't been a lesson designed specifically reaching out to the lost. But you may be here this morning and haven't ever put on Christ through baptism. Today would be a perfect opportunity. You know what God's Word says. And you want to take that step this morning. We have a baptistry full of water that we can take care of that this morning. What a great way to begin this first day of the week. Or maybe we can pray for you this morning. We've prayed for our elders. Many times they stand here praying for certain situations and would love to do that this morning. If you're hurting in any way and need prayers this morning, if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?